بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the Most Merciful, the One who bestows mercy. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam up until Yawm al-Qiyamah. Brothers and sisters, we went over the introduction of the author of the book, who is Al-Hafidh Abdul Ghani Al-Maqdisi rahimahullah. We explained the introduction. And in this lesson, we're going to start the actual text itself. So the first words we have in the book is Kitab al-Tahara, the book of purification. As I mentioned, this book, Umdatul Ahkam, it is a collection of hadith, about 400 odd hadith. And this book, it is split up into smaller books. So the first book is Kitab al-Tahara, the book of purification. And then the second book is the book of the prayer, Kitab al-Salah. And then after this is Kitab al-Janaiz, the book of Janaiz, the funeral prayers. And then Kitab al-Zakah, the book of al-Zakah. Kitab al-Siyam, the book of al-Sawm. Kitab al-Hajj, and like this. So the whole book, Umdatul Ahkam, 450 odd hadith, is split up into smaller books. And then each book is divided into smaller chapters. And each chapter will contain various hadith. So for example, we have the book of purification, Tahara, which is what we are covering in these lessons. And then the book of purification is split up into smaller chapters. We have, for example, the chapter of Al-Ghusl. We have the chapter of At-Tayammum. We have the chapter of the different types of water. And like this, there's a number of chapters within this book, the book of purification. So the first thing that we need to understand is, what is the meaning of At-Tahara? When we say Kitab At-Tahara, the book of At-Tahara, then what is the meaning of At-Tahara? At-Tahara is an Arabic word. And in the Arabic language, Tahara means النزاهة والنظافة من الأدناس والأوساخ. Meaning that At-Tahara, the meaning of At-Tahara in the Arabic language is cleanliness and hygiene from dirt and from impurities. And when we say in the Arabic language, meaning this is the usage of the Arabs when they speak to each other. Not necessarily in the context of the Sharia or in the context of fiqh, but when the Arabs are speaking to each other, when they talk about At-Tahara and At-Tathir, they are speaking about hygiene and cleanliness from impurities and from dirt. And At-Tahara, cleanliness and hygiene, it is something which our religion attaches a lot of importance to. In fact, there's no other religion on the face of this earth like the religion of Islam when it comes to cleanliness and hygiene. And the fact that Islam attaches importance to At-Tahara, to cleanliness and hygiene, is one of the evidences of its truth. And also, this is one of the virtues of Islam. One of the, they call it Fadail al-Islam, the virtues of Islam. If somebody was to say to you, tell me why your religion, why you think your religion is so beautiful, one of the things that you can mention is that our religion attaches a lot of importance to At-Tahara. In fact, the first chapter of fiqh in any book of fiqh and hadith is always Kitab At-Tahara, is the chapter of At-Tahara. So this shows the importance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the religion of Islam attaches to At-Tahara. And therefore, if for example, you're using a miswak or you're making wudu and one of the non-Muslims sees you doing this thing, then you shouldn't be shy. Rather, this is something that you should be proud of. That our religion is the only religion which teaches us to how to perform ghusl, how to clean our private parts, how to brush our teeth, how to maintain personal hygiene, make wudu and things like this. The fact that a Muslim has to wash himself every time he comes out of the toilet, this is from the virtues of Islam. The fact that a person makes wudu and washes his body 3, 4, or 5 times in a day is from the virtues and the good points and the beauty of this religion. So we shouldn't be shy about the aspects and the virtues of our religion. In fact, there is a narration in which one of the Quraysh, one of the mushriks, he came to Salman al-Farsi radiallahu anhu. And all of you know Salman al-Farsi. He was from Persia. His family were fire worshippers. And his story is very long. He left the religion of fire worshipping and he went to Judaism. And he didn't find the truth in Judaism. Then he left Judaism and he went to Christianity. And he didn't find the truth in Christianity until he came to Islam and he became one of the most famous companions of Al-Islam. Salman al-Farsi radiallahu anhu, Salman the Persian. One day, a non-Muslim, a mushrik came to him and he said to him, أَيُعَلِّمُكُمْ نَبِيُّكُمْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى الْخَرَاءَ. He said, does your prophet teach you everything, even how to go to the toilet, even how to answer the call of nature? So this person who said this to him, he was trying to belittle him or mock him, that this is your religion, this is Islam, this is what your prophet has come with. He teaches you how the manners of going to the toilet. Now Salman al-Farsi radiallahu anhu, he didn't shy away from this. His reply was, ajal. Yes, of course he teaches us. And then he mentioned to that person the manners that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has taught. He said, ajal, yes. لَقَدْ نَهَانَا أَن نَسْتَقْبِلَ الْقِبْلَةِ. Our Prophet, he forbade us from facing the Qibla لِغَائِطٍ أَوْ بَوْلٍ. When we're urinating, when we're defecating. Oh, and nastanjiya bil yameen. And our Prophet, he forbade us from wiping ourselves with our right hands. Oh, and nastanjiya bi aqall min thalathati ahjar. And our Prophet forbade us from using less than 3 stones when we are cleaning ourselves. In the olden days, they used to use stones. Oh, nastanjiya bi raji'in aw 'azm. And our Prophet, he forbade us from using dung or using bones to clean ourselves. And like this, he explained to the mushrik the way and the manners that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught, even when it comes to answering the call of nature. So the fact that Islam has covered every aspect of a person's life, whether it is personal hygiene or whether it is affairs covering the society, then this is one of the beauties and the virtues of this religion. And for this reason we say, there is no other religion like Islam, such to the extent that it even teaches a person the manners of answering the call of nature. And I don't know, perhaps some of the younger brothers, perhaps Uncle Talib, you remember, that a long time ago, there was an old uncle in Nelson who was a revert. And his name was Uncle Dawood. Do you remember Uncle Dawood? Uncle Dawood, he's the brothers will remember, he was used to live in Nelson and he came to Islam whilst he was a very old man. And he told me once that how he came to Islam. He said that I went to Turkey and when I was in Turkey on a holiday, I saw a Turkish man, a Muslim, and he was in the public square doing something strange. He would wash his hands, then he'd wash his elbows, sometimes he'd wash his face, then he would be washing his feet, and he never understood what this thing was. He'd never seen this before. So when he started questioning this man and the other Muslims about this, and they told him that this is wudu and this is how we purify ourselves, this is what led him to becoming a Muslim. So this is from the beauties and the virtues of our religion. And as I mentioned, Islam attaches a lot of importance to tahara, to purification, and to cleanliness and hygiene. Many ayat in the Quran, many ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like I mentioned, this small chapter of tahara, 40-50 hadith. All of this shows the importance that Islam places to tahara. Allah said in the Quran, وَثِيَابَكَ فَطَّهِّرْ. As for your clothes, then purify them or clean them. So Islam attaches importance to at-tahara. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, At-tahuru shatrul iman. That at-tahara, at-tahur, cleanliness, it is a half of al-iman. Allah said in the Quran, Inna Allah yuhibbu at-tawwabin wa yuhibbu al-mutatahhirin. Indeed Allah, He loves those people who seek forgiveness, who make tawbah, tawwabin, wa yuhibbu al-mutatahhirin. And He loves the people of tahara, the people of purification and cleanliness. And many ayat, many other ahadith, all of them speak about the importance of at-tahara. So all of this shows the importance that our beautiful religion of Islam attaches to at-tahara. Therefore, what is the meaning of at-tahara when it comes to the context of the Sharia? We spoke about in Arabic language, in common Arabic usage, but when the fuqaha, when the scholars of fiqh, when the books of fiqh talk about at-tahara, when he said kitab at-tahara, what do they mean? Because different words have different meanings in different contexts. So the fuqaha, they have defined the word at-tahara. They said two things. It is raf'u al-hadath wa zawalu al-khabath. Two things. Raf'u al-hadathi wa zawalu al-khabath. Raf'u al-hadath means for a person to bring himself out of the state of hadath. And in a short while, I'll explain to you the meaning of hadath. But the first meaning of tahara is for a person to bring himself out of the state of hadath. And the second part of the definition is وَزَوَالُ الْخَبَثِ, for a person to remove any khabath, any impurities. So for example, dirt and impurities from a person's body or on a person's clothing or upon the earth where a person is about to pray, for example, for a person to remove any impurities, this comes under at-tahara. So to repeat once again, at-tahara, according to the definition of the fuqaha and the books of fiqh, it is raf'u al-hadath, for a person to bring himself out of the state of hadath, which we will explain, wa zawalu al-khabath, and for a person to remove any impurities or any dirty things. This is the definition of at-tahara. Now, there's two main types of tahara. There are two main types of at-tahara. The first type is at-tahara al-qalbiyya, the purification of the heart. And then the second type of tahara is at-tahara al-hissiyya, which is the physical form of purification. So we have two types of tahara: at-tahara al-qalbiyya, the purification of the heart, the purification of the soul, the purification of a person's intention, his sincerity. And the second type is the purification of a person's body and physical matters. Ibrahim, quiet please. Which of these is more important? The purification of the heart or the purification which is physical? Which one is more important? No doubt, the purification of the heart is more important than the purification of the bodies and that which is physical. What is the purification of the heart? A person purifies his actions with at-tawheed. A person worships Allah alone. A person purifies himself from ash-shirk, from showing off. A person purifies his heart and his thought from hating other Muslims, or from being jealous and belittling other Muslims. All of this comes under the tahara, which is in the heart. And Allah said in the Quran, إِنَّمَا الْمُشْرِكُونَ najas. Indeed, the people of shirk, they are najas. And the meaning of najas is impure. Najasa is impurity. Now, you might have a mushrik, and he's the most clean and the most hygienic of people. But despite his cleanliness and his hygiene, he is still najas. Not the najas which is physical, because he might always keep himself clean and shower every day and wash all the time. But his najas, his impurity is the najas of the heart. The impurity in his heart, i.e. the impurity of a shirk. Now for this reason Allah said, إِنَّمَا الْمُشْرِكُونَ najas. Indeed, the people of shirk, they are najas. So a person, the first thing that he has to do, the first thing that he has to purify is purify his heart. Purify his heart from shirk. Purify his heart with at-tawheed and ikhlas, sincerity. And then purify his heart from hating any other Muslim or for having bad thoughts of any other Muslim. And this is something which is very important, that every single one of us, when we sleep at night, before we sleep, that we try to remove the hatred or belittlement or distrust of any Muslim. And we don't sleep in a state in which we have a heart which is filled of hatred for any particular Muslim. Any person who bows his head down to the Lord of the heavens and the earth upon at-tawheed, then we don't belittle this person. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about the believers. He said, وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِن بَعْدِهِمْ, that those are the believers who came afterwards. يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا, they say, O our Lord, forgive us. وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَ بِالْإِيمَانِ, forgive us and forgive our brothers who came before us with al-Iman. وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلًّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, and O our Lord, do not create in our hearts any ghil. And ghil is jealousy and hatred and belittling for our brothers or for those who have had iman, for those who have iman. رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ رَؤُوفُ الرَّحِيمُ, O our Lord, you are ar-ra'uf and you are ar-rahim. So consider this ayah. The good people, the righteous people, they seek forgiveness for themselves and they seek forgiveness for their brothers who have iman, i.e. the mu'mineen. And then they make dua to Allah, O Allah, don't place ghil, don't place hatred and jealousy in our heart for whom? For the people of al-iman. And one of the beautiful narrations that is mentioned is regarding a famous imam called al-imam al-hasan al-basri rahimullah, famous imam. And a person one day was passing by his house and he would say, see that every night the candle or the lamp in his house is always burning. And then he would go near the house and he would hear Imam al-Hasan al-Basri rahimullah saying, Allahumma afu amman zalamani, O Allah, pardon the one who has oppressed me. And he would keep saying this, O Allah, forgive the person who has oppressed me. O Allah, forgive the person who has oppressed me. And this person who passed by his house, he heard this so much from him that he said, I hoped that I would be from amongst the people who have oppressed him. Because he wants to be under those people who the Imam makes dua for. So look, Al-Imam Al-Hasan Al-Basri, people are oppressing him, slandering him, speaking bad about him. And yet his dua at night is, Allahumma afu amman zalamani, O Allah, pardon the one who has oppressed me. And therefore this is something we should attach importance to, the purification of the heart from shirk and from al-ghil for the other believers before the purification of anything else. This is the first type of purification, al-tahara al-qalbiyya. The second type of purification, which is what we are going to study, is al-tahara al-hissiyya, the purification which is physical. And this is purifying three things: purifying a person's body, and purifying a person's clothing, and purifying the place that a person is worshipping upon. So for example, when you are worshipping, there are three main things that you have to make sure are clean and purified, and there's no najasa, there's no impurities on them. Number one, your body. Number two, your clothing. And number three, the place which you are praying upon. You have to make sure that there is no najasa, no impurity. How does a person purify his body? Either with wudu, or with ghusl, or with at-tayammum. These are the three ways in which a person purifies his body. Either with wudu, or with ghusl, or with at-tayammum. How does a person purify his clothing and the earth or the land? With water. With water, a person is able to purify his clothing and a person is able to purify the land or the place that he is praying upon. Obviously, we're mentioning these things very, very briefly and in summary. Later on, we're going to come to the chapters about these things. And here we will mention detail. So this is just to give you an overall picture of the meaning of At-Tahara and the different types of At-Tahara. Finally, we come to the word Hadath. Because I said that the meaning of At-Tahara is Raf'ul Hadath. For a person to remove himself from the state of Al-Hadath. So what is Al-Hadath? The Fuqaha, they have mentioned that the meaning of Hadath is a state or a symbolic state that your body is in. A symbolic state of impurity that your body is in. For example, when a person breaks his wudu, a person goes to the toilet, for example, he might clean himself, he might make istinja, but even though he has cleaned himself in terms of istinja, his symbolic state is still in a state of impurity until he makes wudu. So this isn't a physical impurity, meaning there isn't, na'udhu billah, urine upon his body. He's cleaned himself from that. But the symbolic state in front of Allah of impurity still remains. And in order for a person to have tahara, to enter into the purified state, he then has to purify himself through wudu, through ghusl, through tayammum, and so on and so forth. There are two types of hadath. Al-hadath al-asghar, the minor form of hadath, i.e. the minor symbolic state of impurity, and al-hadath al-akbar, the major state of impurity. So what is the minor state of impurity? It is when a person urinates or defecates or passes wind, then a person now is in the symbolic state of minor impurity. How does a person purify himself? Through wudu. And if he cannot make wudu, then at-tayammum. So this is al-hadath al-asghar, the minor form of impurity. And then after this we have al-hadath al-akbar, the major form of impurity. And this is also called al-janaba. And again, later on, we will go into this in more detail. What is al-hadath al-akbar, the major form of impurity? It is the symbolic state of impurity when a person has sexual intercourse or a wet dream, or there is a discharge of semen from his body. How does a person remove himself from this state of major impurity? Through al-ghusl. So this is the meaning of al-hadath. And we're going to study a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which is the second hadith, that Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, he said, لا يقبل الله صلاة أحدكم إذا أحدث حتى يتوضأ. That Allah will not accept the prayer of any one of you when he goes into a state of hadath. إذا أحدث حتى يتوضأ, until he makes wudu. So this is the meaning of al-hadath. Then there's other things that the scholars have differed about. For example, blood. Does it cause for a person to enter into the state of hadath or not? And these things we'll explain later on. So to summarize quickly, At-Tahara is one of the beauties of this religion, one of the virtues of this religion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger spoke about At-Tahara and the importance of purification. The meaning of At-Tahara is Raf'ul Hadath wa Zawalul Khabath. For a person to remove himself from the state of Hadath, which we now know what it is, wa Zawalul Khabath, and for a person to remove any impurities or dirt. There are two types of At-Tahara. At-Tahara Al-Qalbiyya, the purification of the heart. And this is the most important thing, because this is the difference between Islam and between Al-Kufr. And then we have At-Tahara Al-Hissiyya, the physical form of purification. And this is a person cleaning his body and his clothing and the place that he is praying upon. What is the meaning of hadath? Hadath is a symbolic state of impurity. And it is two types. Al-hadath al-asghar, the minor form of impurity. This is when a person urinates, defecates or passes wind. Or sleeps, of course. And then he comes out of this by performing wudu. And then the second type is al-hadath al-akbar, the major form of impurity. And this is when a person has intimate relations and therefore he comes out of this through performing al-ghusl. The final thing that we need to discuss, and we'll finish with this, is why did the author mention At-Tahara as the first book? Why did he start with At-Tahara? Why didn't he start with, for example, the book of Jihad, or the book of Nikah, marriage, or the book of Salah? Why did he start off with the book of Tahara before any other book? Now, it's a question for the brothers. Why did the author start off with the book of Tahara before all of the other chapters?
Most important thing before you do anything.
Excellent. Like the brother mentioned, or like uncle mentioned, the most important pillar after La ilaha illallah is the prayer. However, is the prayer accepted without a Tahara? No, it is not. So when Tahara is a condition for the prayer, and a person has to be Tahur, pure, before he enters into the prayer, for this reason, the Fuqaha, all of them, the first chapter that they mention is the chapter of Tahara, and then they go to the most important pillar, which is the book of As-Salah. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam, sallallahu ala nabiyyina.